an on-time God. Yes, he is.
Children of Israel,
oh yes,
trapped at the Red Sea by that mean old Pharaoh and that army. They had water all around them.
Oh yes, yes.
Pharaoh on their tracks.
Thank you, Lord.
But out of nowhere, my God stepped in a man of highway just like that.
Good to be a child of God this morning. The world didn't give it, Brother Darrell. The world can't take it away. Thank God. So glad to be in service once again, wherever you are this morning. We trust that you're just ready to have church. God is so good to us to let us have the means to do what we're doing, and we just praise God for this opportunity. We want to look at some prayer requests for you this morning. First of all, Sister Tamika Brown sends this praise report. Her sister, LaSharon Moore, is off of life support, including oxygen. She is sitting up, talking, eating, and doing very well. Her friend also has been released from the hospital and is recovering really well. She wants to thank everyone for their prayers and encouragement during this trying week. So we praise God for that praise report, don't we? Dale Whitehead, this is a prayer request that Sister Tamika sends in. Very sick in the intensive care unit, suffering from heart problems and a blood clot in her lungs. This is one of my friend's mother-in-law, so we want to remember that prayer request. Also, her friend, Sister Tamika's friend, Judith Weiniger, is undergoing chemotherapy for cancer, which has returned to her body. So we want to commit these things unto the Lord. Just ask God to intervene in a special way. Also, we have written down this morning prayer request for Sister Sandra Lavescu. She has had chemotherapy for some time for ovarian cancer and is scheduled for very invasive surgery on Tuesday. And they request that the assembly remember her in prayer, requested by her son, David. So we want to remember that need as we pray. We'll remember Brother Sam Clark this morning, been diagnosed with leukemia. So we certainly want to pray for Brother Sam. The Lord would be mindful of him. This is from Pastor Joseph Paul. He sends his sins greetings to you in the name of the Lord. One of our church family believers, Brother Ravi and Sister Nirmala, I hope I got those names right, recently married. They are now expecting a child in the seventh month of her pregnancy. The heart on the right side, also the liver on the right side. They're having a lot of problems. The doctors have advised abortion. They are believers in this message, and they believe that God can change everything. I told them, only believe, all things are possible. Please pray for this situation. Remember us in your personal and fasting prayer. So we just commit that unto the Lord. Brother Pastor Joseph Paul sends that in. So let's remember that. You have unspoken prayer requests in your homes this morning. I know in this assembly we all have needs that we want to remember. Ask Brother Darrell if he would come. Take us to the Lord in prayer. So appreciate Brother Darrell Ward. God bless our brother this morning. Brother, we love you. God bless you.
So grateful we serve an on-time God that even when we think he's 4 days late, he's still right on time. Let's just go before the Lord in prayer this morning. Most graciously, Heavenly Father, we just count it such an honor to be able to bow our heads and call upon a God who hears the prayers of his people. For Lord, you promised us in your word that if we called, that you would answer, Lord, and we believe that to be true. And Lord, as I was thinking, sitting there this morning, how you took the water, Lord, and turned it into wine. And I thought, oh God, the God who could take water and turn it into wine, could take sorrow and turn it into joy, can take a frown and turn it into a smile, take sickness and turn it into health, and take death, turn it into life, Lord. You take every one of these prayer requests and turn it into a testimony. And Lord, we believe that this morning because we serve an on-time, awesome God who cannot fail, Lord. So God, we lift these requests up to you. They're greater than man, Lord. They may be greater than medicine, may be greater than anything that a doctor could do or his manual could say, but they're not greater than you this morning, Lord. So we lift them up before you, Father, knowing that you are exceeding above all that we could ever hope for, that we could ever ask for. And oh God, you never asked us for a lot of money before you'd answer a prayer. You never asked us for these things. The only thing you ever asked us to do was to believe. If thou can believe, all things are possible. And Lord, we believe today, Father, in the name of Jesus, may every one of these binds that Satan placed upon the people, may every barrier be broke today, and may we sail into the atmosphere, dear God of the only believe, that all things are possible. Lord, we just love you today. We commit the service into your hands for your glory. Lord, those who may be dealing with depression today, I just ask you, God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, may you just speak to them, Lord, and take the depression, turn it into happiness, we pray, as we ask these things in Jesus' name for thy glory. Amen and amen. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Brother Darrell. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's sing a little song this morning. We've sung it so many times before, but I pray as we sing it that if Brother Darrell mentioned depression and people are getting nervous, people are getting excited about maybe the possibility of being able to come back to the house of the Lord. We don't know when that's going to happen, but we do know it's in God's control. And I pray as we sing this song, the song says he's in the house. I pray he'll come into your house this morning, your room, wherever you're at, and speak peace to your soul. Amen. Let's see if we can do that, Brother Harry. A little girl was lying there. The people all were weeping. They just laughed at Jesus when he said she's only sleeping. As he took her by the hand, she began to live again. Some began to praise the Lord. Some began to say, he's in the house. Death had to flee. Now there's light where darkness used to be. Praise his name.
this heart of mine. He gave me life again. I am just a house of clay. But ever since that blessed day, there's a light that shines in me.
Dad Bernie, it just feels good to cry, Brother Darrell. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'm so glad he's with us. Every step of the way, he's with us. We'll never doubt that. We'll never give up on that, the fact that he's with us. Got some good singers here this morning. Sister Cindy, Sister Anna, Brother Harry's going to come. Before they do, you can come on and be getting ready, Brother Harry, if you want to. We'll do a little chorus together, Brother Larry. Let's do that. There's power in the blood. I'm so glad there's power in the blood of the Lamb of God. Amen. Oh, yes, there's power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. Oh, yes, there's power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Oh yes, there's power, power, wonder working power in the blood of the Lamb. Oh yes, there's power, power, wonder working power in the precious blood of the Lamb.
It's so good to be in church, Brother Darrell. So good to be in his presence. I trust that the presence of the Lord is in each home. And just getting ready to sit here and eat the lamb after a while. I'm so glad that my Lord lives. Justin was asking me some questions the other day. We was talking about something. Anyway, he was talking about Muhammad, and he was looking up where Muhammad was buried. And I couldn't help but think we just had Easter. And all you folks who follow Muhammad, if you could go and look, you could find some relics or remnants of his bones. My Lord, he ain't in the grave. My Lord came and he died, but he is alive. And I'm glad he made me part of what he's doing today in our age. Do you feel the world is broken?
Me too.
Do you feel the shadows deepen?
Me too.
Do you know that all the dark won't stop the light from getting through?
We do.
Do you wish that you could see it all made new?
We do.
Is all creation groaning?
It is.
Is a new creation coming?
It is the glory of the Lord to be the light within our midst. Is it good that we remind ourselves of this?
It is.
Is anyone worthy? Is anyone whole? Is anyone able to break the seals and open the scroll? The Lion of Judah, who conquered the grave. He is David's root and the Lamb who died to ransom the slave. Is he worthy? Is he worthy? Is he worthy of this? Does the Father truly love us?
He does.
Does the Spirit move among us?
He does.
And is Jesus our Messiah, oh, forever in His name?
He does.
Does our God intend to dwell again with us?
Is anyone worthy? Is anyone whole? Is anyone able to break the seal and open the scroll? The Lion of Judah, who conquered the grave. He is David's root and the Lamb who died to ransom the slave. From every people and tribe, every nation and tongue, He has made us a kingdom, a priest to God, to reign with the Son. Is He worthy? Is He worthy of all blessing and honor and glory?
Is He worthy of this? He is, He is, He is, He is, He is worthy, He is worthy of all blessing and honor and glory. He is worthy of it. He is.
To Him who sits on. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. Rolls of thunder, blessing and honor, strength and glory and power be to you, the only wise King. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty,
comes to bring us the word of the Lord. Let's sing this little chorus together. We've wore it out too, but it's a good one. It'll never get old. Our God is awesome. Do you believe that this morning? I know you do. Let's sing it as he gets ready to come and bring us the word of the Lord. Our God is awesome. Yes, he's awesome. Yes, he's awesome. He's so awesome. Our God is awesome.
He can move the mountains, keep me in the valley, and hide me from the rain.
Oh, my God is awesome.
He is awesome.
Lord, you're awesome.
You are awesome.
You're
praise the Lord. We greet you today in the name of the Lord Jesus. We're so glad that we can say our God is not only awesome when things are going good and when things are going the way that we think they ought to, but He's awesome when things is going bad. He's awesome when things are going in a way that we're just absolutely overwhelmed and perplexed by it. We're so grateful. Let me give you a little testimony before we read the scripture here today. Brother Jill, we requested prayer for him on Wednesday night, and the Lord's really moved for our brother and helped him, and he's doing really good, up walking about, talking, and looks like he's going to rehab maybe in a few days. So just continue to pray for him that all will be well with our brother. That's our God. Right in the midst of trouble, He comes and moves. Also, before we pray, I'd like to mention to you a group down in South Carolina. It's a group where Brother Gibbs used to be the pastor there, and he passed away some time ago. And there's several of the saints there that's become afflicted with this virus. I think a couple of them, maybe Brother Darrell's actually died. And we certainly want to remember that assembly has gone through the assembly. And you can imagine it's been devastating to them, a small assembly anyway. But we want to pray for them after we read the word. We're so happy to be able to bring the word to you today. And we long for the day when all of your smiling faces is going to be sitting here again. And hopefully it won't be too much longer to where we can be able to assemble together. From what they're saying, more than likely we're going to have to still practice a little bit of social distancing. But we'll figure out the way to be able to do that and to be able to assemble ourselves together. Also, we have an engagement announcement, Brother Ben Lawson and Sister Caitlin Hensley. So it goes to prove that even when things are all out of kelter and all that, folks still falling in love, still getting engaged, still wanting to be married. Birds are still singing. Groundhogs still eating like they always eat. You know what? Before long, we'll be right back to where that we were, thank the Lord. And we'll look back and think, wow, what God did for us. Amen. Let's read together, if you would, today. Again, 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. I so appreciate the word of the Lord. Amen. What God's given us. Like the way Brother Louis added that verse to that song a while ago. The word that the Lord's give us, the world can't take it away. We so appreciate the word of God. Thank the Lord we would be without it today. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, now listen to these three things, and this is the three things, of course, that Satan wanted to be able to inject into the human race. By having these things in the human race, he would have total access to every human being to be able to cause them problems all their lives. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Now, not he that shouts, he that jumps, he that runs and screams and hollers, and we believe in every bit of that. Amen. But a person can do all that and still not do the will of God. Right. But the key to everlasting life, notice the world will pass away. If we follow these three precepts that Satan gives us, we'll pass away. But he that doeth what? One thing. The will of God abideth forever. Now, in that one thing curtails many, many things. We know that. But God gives us the power to be able to live it. Let's pray together, if you would. Those of you that are streaming in your home, wherever you are, just hold your needs, your requests before the Lord. I know this is a difficult time, friends, and I've been praying for many on the phone and getting texts and emails and things like that. Folks are going through a difficult time. Just remember that the Lord Jesus loves you through this time, and He's mindful of you. Heavenly Father, as we bow our heads to the dust of the earth from whence we were taken, and we know if time would tarry, Lord, without the rapture coming, our bodies will go back to that place where they come from. But we're so thankful that we have within us today an element which did not come from the dust of the earth, but it was that which was given to us by the Eternal Himself, that attribute of your own thinking. For that, Father, we are so grateful. And we're grateful, Lord, that it lay there dormant for many, many years in our lives. One day the breath of God, by the baptism of the Holy Ghost, breathed upon that little seedling there. And we received the baptism of the Spirit of God, which is the token life of the Lord Jesus. We're so grateful today, Father, because once we receive that, it empowers us to be able to do the will of God. It takes away the strain, the labor, the difficult of trying to live the right kind of a life. Once we receive that in us, it is that in us that lives itself out. Father, we ask you today that you be mindful of all the needs of your children. Lord, for the saints down in South Carolina, we pray for them today, Father, that you just be with them, Lord. You see this virus, it's just rampant through the little church there. God, would you move for them? Would you be mindful of them, Lord? Father God, may you help them through this difficult time. Lord Jesus, it's affected your saints in so many different ways, we know, according to where they live, their culture, their jobs, and so on. But may you be mindful of each of us today, Lord. How we long for the day when we can gather together here again and we can resume an element of normalcy in our lives. But Father, we want to say that we thank you for helping us through this time. We're grateful. We know, Lord, that it's been your grace that's given us that strength. So once again, we're asking that you would help us with the word. Lord, I've studied, I've prayed, I've looked at these things. But Father, all I know is to do is present myself. And I pray then that you would take me and help me to get out of the way. Speak through me, Lord, those words of life. And we know, Father, if there's anything of eternal value that'll be accomplished out of this service, it'll have to be you that does it. So we're looking forward to see how you will move for us in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, saints. Here in Invisible, we love you so much in the Lord and so appreciate you. I just miss everybody so much, and I just wish I could see you all and just be able to hug your neck. And I know it may be a while before we can hug one another and shake one another's hands and all that, even when we get to come back and we're trying to come up with what we can be able to do to where everybody can assemble together. And it may be a little bit still compromised as far as what we really want to do once we're able to get back. But I believe we'll all be so happy to get back. If we had to wear a mask and wear rubber boots and hazmat outfits and whatever, I think we'd all be so happy and so tickled to be in the house of God. But we believe that God will help us through this time. Again, I'd like to read to you from the verse 16 that John, so by the Spirit of God, was able to catch an understanding that was not phrased quite like anything anybody else in the New Testament actually had written. And he said, all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And again, I'd like to look at the meaning of this word pride. It is boasting, empty, braggart talk, insolent and empty assurance, which trusts in its own power and resources and shamefully despises and violates divine laws and human rights. Now, Satan knew that if there was some way he could ever be able to inject these simple three things into the life of all human beings, that all human beings, even though they loved God, now he knew that there was an element of people from the Old Testament, and they loved God, they were not born again, yet they loved God, and they wanted to serve him, and they wanted to do everything they could, but they did not have the ability by a new birth to empower them to overcome these three things by which Satan wanted to rule. And remember, it was not actually, as we looked at it Wednesday night, there was no drinking in heaven, there was no adultery in heaven, there was no banks to be robbed or no smoking or anything like that by which most people today would identify, well, smoking is sin and, you know, drinking is sin. And how staggering it was for me when I heard Brother Branham say that years ago, that smoking was not sin, drinking was not sin. I'm thinking, what in the world is this man saying? But once he broke it down to where you realize that he was getting to the very point of it, which was unbelief. So drinking, smoking, lying, all of that is the attributes of unbelief. Now, Satan, we know, of course, did not drink in heaven. He did not lie. But Satan did give birth from his own soul to the attribute of the pride of life. Now, he had something, apparently, he took it in this way, that he had something to be proud about. And, of course, once he was able to inject this into the human race, and Eve, actually, before there was ever a commingling of the seed, she began to experience an element of the feeling of pride. pride. She also was tempted by the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. So if man had fallen by these three avenues, it just makes sense looking at it humanly that the overcomer, in order to bring restitution back to the man, would have to be tempted in the same way. So when our Lord Jesus come to the earth, this is the very reason of kenosis, because if he would have come with the fullness of the Godhead bodily and would have let that fullness meet the devil, it would have never been just for you and I to ever to be able to meet the devil with just a portion of the Holy Ghost. Had he come and his life would have overcome by a theophany. Now, I do believe the Lord Jesus was theophany, absolutely, before his existence on the earth. I believe he was the Father before his existence on the earth. But somehow there was a separation of himself from all of that, and he never overcame by using the fullness of the Godhead. He never overcame by using a theophanic power or a theophanic endowment, or it would have been unjust to tell you and I to overcome the same way he did when we do not yet have our theophany. But yet Satan must learn early into his life. Now, we find it amazing that once the Lord Jesus receives the fullness at the river and the fullness of the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and again, remember, this is kenosis, so he chose to do this himself. He chose to live a separate life from the attribute of the fullness of God for 30 years. He chose to live as a man, as we'd say it, to be able to relate to it in our thinking, that had believed God, had trusted God, and was sanctified, so he lived a justified, a sanctified life, but yet he lived without the baptism of the Holy Ghost for 30 years in order to sample the entirety of the human life. Brother Bram said he'd become a baby so he could understand how children would feel. He wanted to live the life of a teenager without the Holy Ghost so he would be able to help teenagers with out the Holy Ghost. So he wanted to experience every aspect of the life of a human being. But as soon as he gets the Holy Ghost, and the Bible tells us in Matthew 4, he was led of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And now think, there was no drinking in the wilderness. There was no bars. There was no women. There was no cigarettes. So how in the world could we ever say our Lord Jesus was tempted and tried and tested by the very aspects of life that we are? But you see, there's only three main principles by which Satan attacks every one of us. Now, our temptations and our weaknesses will be different one from the other, and what you say bothers you, I might laugh at and say, well, my goodness, I can't believe that bothers you. And now you might say, well, what bothers you, Brother Donnie? And I'd tell you, say, wow, I wish I had that. That would be so easy to overcome. But yet each of us, no matter what name we put on our weakness, what name we would put on our temptation, they all three sprout from these avenues of the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Now Satan knew this, so he knows he does not need women in the wilderness to tempt Jesus. He knows he does not need alcohol. That will come later. But Jesus must overcome him in the very birth of his ministry, and he must conquer these very three aspects that he used in the Garden of Eden. Now, we know then that when Satan came against him receiving the fullness of the Holy Ghost, but he did not overcome the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life by a theophany. He did not take the theophany and allow the theophany to empower him to overcome. He could not have done it and then turn around and said, all right, Louis, whenever you go through tests, you use your theophany. And Louis said, Lord, how can I do that? I don't have my theophany. I've never embraced my theophany. So the Lord Jesus must overcome as the weakest member in his church would overcome down through the ages, and that is with a believer taking the principles of God's word and defeating the devil anywhere, anytime, under any circumstance. Now, it was Matthew chapter 4, if you'd like to read that, well, we won't read it to save time. In Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 to 11, that Jesus was tempted of the devil in the wilderness. So, as the temptation starts to come against him, now remember, this is not an act. This is not him saying, well, I'll act like I'm tempted, but in reality, I'm not. No, he was actually tempted, and this is part of the kenosis of God, that he must allow himself to feel in his human body. He must allow his spirit. He must allow himself to feel buffeted as we do by the power of temptation. Now, he was not born by sex desire the way we are, but he entered into this state of kenosis to where that he would stoop to such a place his holy created flesh would feel the very same thing you and I do. Now, remember, this sin nature was not born in him, but he allowed, by choice, he allowed himself to step into the realm of temptation. So when Satan come against him and tried to tempt him by all these aspects that he offered in the Garden of Eden, the lust of the flesh for bread, for his hunger, the lust of the eyes, and that was through the powers of the kingdoms of the world. So what did Satan do? He tapped into the humanity of the Lord Jesus. And remember, Jesus actually had to contend with himself. Now, unlike you and I, which are born in sin, he was not born in sin. Not one thing wrong about his humanity. But he allowed himself, if he did not, he is a fake high priest. If he only acted this part, then for 2,000 years, he has been in heaven and he is a faker. If he did not actually allow himself to feel the pull of temptation and the pull of weakness and the pull of confusion and the battering of the humanity against the divine. He's been in heaven acting as a high priest for 2,000 years and he don't even know what he's talking about. And we know that is not who our Lord is. Our Lord is not acting like he is our high priest. He is our high priest. He is well equipped. He is well qualified because he allowed himself by the act of kenosis to enter in without sex birth into feeling how every one of us would feel in our greatest and deepest trial. So when Satan offered to him then the temptation, you're hungry, why don't you command these stones to be made bread? What did he use, Brother Darrell? He used the lust of the flesh. Now remember, I'm talking lust in the sense of him allowing himself to feel that. He was not conceived in lust. The reason it's so easy for us to lust after that which is prohibited, it was the very consummation of our birth. We were conceived through the lust of the flesh, and we were born of that very thing. He was not born that way, but he must allow himself to step into the same resemblance and similarity the way that we feel. So when Satan said, you're hungry, why don't you take these stones and make them into bread? The Lord Jesus felt as pulled, as tempted to do that, as you and I are tempted to do anything wrong that Satan brings against us. So what did the Lord Jesus do? Well, he comes right back to the word and said, it's written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Did the devil give up? Nope, he didn't give up. So he simply changes it now and goes into another sphere of that temptation. Now he's going to offer him the kingdoms of the world. Now he's going to move into another aspect, which will be the lust of the eyes, looking around at what he can be able to obtain. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. So he can be able to attain all of these things. But there's a catch to it. You can have it if you will simply bow down and worship me. So he offers him the kingdoms without a cross. And the prophet tells us if he would have took it, none of us would have been there. But he wanted us to be there as well. But now remember, he was tempted to take it. It was actually hard. Now listen, it was actually hard. Lord, on the humanity of the Lord Jesus. My friends, if the Lord Jesus did not experience this in the same depth of reality that we experience it, as I said, he's acting as an imposter. His flesh actually felt the pull, and in his mind, it ran through his mind the way it would any of us. Okay, I won't have to suffer. I won't have to die. I won't have to be spit upon. I won't have to have the beard plucked from my face. Really, I could do this. And in his humanity, the kenosis of God. Oh, let yourself go this morning and allow the revelation of God to so penetrate your soul that you can experience yourself, what he went through, and understand that this is not because he was born lost and born a sinner and born unregenerate, but he willfully took this on himself and allowed himself to step into that sphere to feel the way that we feel. Now, whenever he comes into the kingdoms of the world and he offers them to them, and Jesus in his humanity, of course, feels to go that way. Here's the splendor, here's the power, here's the greatness and the riches of it. But yet we know that Jesus again resorted right back to the word. And you'll notice how Satan will modify these temptations. Oh, I see. So you want to stay in the word, do you? Well, that's fine. Then let's go to the word. So Satan in the first two did not quote the word. But when it comes to the pride of life, now watch how he changes himself now, and he approaches it in a different way, and he takes Jesus up on the pinnacle of the temple. Oh my, the prophet said he showed him the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And I think it was in the seals that he said, what a creature. He said, every kingdom that ever was and ever would be. And Satan showed him to Jesus in a moment of time. And the Lord Jesus as a man was tempted to take it, but again he resorted to the word. And then Satan said, well, I see you want to be religious, do you? Well, I'm going to make you a supernatural offer. I want to make you something. Now, this is where many people fail to understand that Satan has access to the supernatural realm, and Satan has access even to divine gifts. Satan has access to the world of vision, and the world and the realm of dreams, and the realm of speaking in tongues, and the realm of prophecy. And Satan has access. Boy, boy, I know we're going to get quiet this morning, amen. But you see, he has access into that supernatural realm. And the prophet called it this way in the harvest time. So he said, well, if you're not going to go that way, then he would make them a supernatural offer. Well, apparently, he must have an element of supernatural at his disposal, or he could not offer anything supernatural. Is that right? Now, the Lord Jesus had overcome them through the temptation to the flesh, the temptation to the eyes. Now the Lord Jesus must conquer this thing which religious people will deal with. How can I overcome? Notice, Brother Bram says in paragraph 129, the next great assault was that he made upon him that he would be a show-off. And how that does hit God's servants. So now we're moving beyond smoking, and we're moving beyond drinking, and we're moving beyond, you know, say pornography or some of those things, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes. Now we move into a realm that many people don't even embrace, because they think the pride of life is you just being proud because you drive a nicer car than somebody else, or you're proud because your house is bigger, and that's part of pride too. But that's not the only sphere that pride is in. You see, pride can go in the religious realm. Oh my, may God help us this morning. Now he said, and how that does hit God's servants, to be a show-off, to show what you can do. Glory to God, hallelujah. I'm a deliverer, I'm so-and-so. Now can you imagine? Here is where Satan hits, the prophet said, the servants of God. He never called these false anointed ones, but actually servants of God. So God gifts them, God calls them, God uses them, and then once they move into that sphere. Now, a sinner can never enter into this, and they'll never even understand it. A lost man will never experience this element. Only those who are saved, who are gifted, who are used by God, will actually ever enter enter into this and feel it. Now, I'm not going to ask for raising of hands, but I guarantee you, every preacher, every singer, every songwriter, every musician, every one of us that's ever been used of God have fought this thing. Sometimes it might be right in the middle of your preaching and a thought will hit you. Boy, you're doing a good job. Or right in the middle of your singing, or you're playing your piano, your guitar, your instrument. Where does it come from? Comes right straight from the pits of hell. Ain't that right, brothers? We can be honest and say, admit that it's the truth. Now, remember, glory to God, hallelujah, I'm a deliverer. Now, see, you're not being tempted to smoke. Oh, man, I want that cigar so bad. Oh, man, I'd love to have that beer. Oh, if I could just have a cup of wine. No, this is a total different sphere. I'm a deliverer. I'm this, I'm that. Come up here on top of the temple. See, sit down here. He tempted him to do it. Now, remember, he was tempted to do it. It was actually hard on the Lord Jesus, and he felt that temptation. This is why we will be totally without excuse at the day of judgment, because our God entered into our temptations with us. And it was not an act, it was not an imagery of temptation, but he felt it, and it was so hard on his humanity, but he overcome. Now remember, he was tempted to do it hard. He said, now if you want to be something before the people, stand up here in this temple and jump off. I'll give you scripture for it. I'll give you scripture for it, because it's written, he'd give the angels charge over thee, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. He'd bear thee up to make him a show off. To show his authority. No true servant of God ever does that. You see a man showing off his chest out and all that, just remember, there is something wrong there. Oh my, no, God don't want that. Jesus set the example. He could have done it. Now people say, oh, Jesus couldn't have done that. You don't understand kenosis. He could have done it. If he couldn't have done it, it still would not have been a true temptation. It would not have been a true representation of our advocate, our high priest. But because he could do it, and because he felt the pull to do it, hallelujah, and overcome the pull to do it, this is why he could say, be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. And because I've overcome, you can overcome as well. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Lord. No servant of God is a show off of himself. To try to take God's power and show himself above somebody else. Now, you see, gifts are a wonderful thing from God, but people can take divine gifts and actually send their own soul to hell with that divine gift. Oh my goodness. Are y'all as quiet as home as these brothers are? Notice this again, and how can I overcome? You remember Moses. Oh my goodness. Moses did that, and the congregation didn't nod their head, but they said, amen. Thank you. God gave him power to do whatever he wanted to. Made him a prophet. He walked to that rock and smote the rock the second time. And that was against God's will. God said, speak to the rock. Don't smite it again. Now, Moses was a prophet of God, and he had the power to do these things. And even though it was out of the will of God, God honored that position and the anointing. And God brought water right out of the rock, even though it was not the plan of God. Can everybody say amen to that? Now, I know we got a group of people around the message that want to give us the false doctrine that God's prophets are above humanity, and you better study that out. You're only quoting a few quotes when you say God's prophet makes no mistakes. If you'll study the context of that, he's talking about when they have thus saith the Lord. They're human beings like all the rest of us. They think wrong, they say things wrong, and yes, they make plenty of mistakes, and they have to be corrected. As a matter of fact, when the prophet of God stood there before the angel of the Lord, and he told him, he said, I gave you the first sign and gave you the second sign, and you went out there and tried to explain it. Look at it. What is the vision? 1956. He said, you tried to explain it. And he said, you didn't even understand nothing about it yourself. What was Brother Branham doing? Oh, it's going to get quieter on me. But he was using the pride of life, and he got a whooping for it. Well, amen. Amen, Brother Donnie. Now, notice this. What did Moses do? Moses actually glorified himself by using his God-given gift and ability. This is what causes so many cliques and clans and all these things around the message. It's been ever since God, of course, called men in the beginning. And this is why we've got all these groups. And when Brother Branham was here, they'd say, well, I'm Baptist, I'm Methodist, I'm this or that or the other. But we don't say that in the message. We say, I'm two soul, I'm tape only, I'm return minister, I'm seven thunder. It's exact same thing, pride of life. Oh my. Notice you glorified yourself. You took my power. Instead of sanctifying me, you sanctified yourself. Now you're not going over in the land, look over and see what it looked like, but you're going to leave right here. Oh my, there'd never been one like Moses, you know. No, no. When he come to that show off with Jesus, he said, get up on the mountain and jump off. He said, it's written. Amen. Now, don't tempt the Lord thy God. He met him with the word. Every major assault. Now watch, Brother Branham, he goes right back in it again. No true servant ever tries to show himself off with God's power. If he does, he loses it right then. Now you imagine that Satan knows that for many men of God that have the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and they are not going to go back out on the world. They're not going to commit adultery with somebody else's wife. They're not going to let money and possessions ever get between them and the love of God. But he still has one more area that he'll try to use them, and it's this one right here. And if he cannot get to them directly, he'll try to put people around him, and they'll constantly lift him up and lift him up. Oh, how great he is, how wonderful he is, my, and they just constantly flood him with all this adoration. Oh, hallelujah. Do we not all want to know we're appreciated and loved? Yes, we do. But none of us want to enter into this phase of God's glory. There's only one that deserves glory among us, and it ain't me, it ain't you, it ain't none of us. It is the Lord Jesus alone. Notice he says he come and suffered and took the hard, rugged route. He took the route of persecution. He took the route of death. Are we this morning willing to do, to take the same route that he taken? What is it? So it's a kenosis from the Christ, the Lord Jesus. The same kenosis comes right on down to the true church baptized with the Holy Ghost. Will there be men of God in this message that will take the power? No doubt. No doubt they are. And no doubt many of them have suffered, and maybe some of them even gone to a premature grave because they entered into a sphere they should have never entered into. You see, a gift is not something that you use as a toy. It is not something that's given to make you famous or rich or important or above your brethren. It is something to help you get out of the way so people can see Jesus Christ. And the more you get out of the way, the more he'll use you. And the more he'll use you, the more you'll get out of the way. And the greater people will glorify him. But if they go to rallying around that man, watch his ministry, watch his lifespan. Oh God, help us, Lord. It's the same way with singers, musicians, songwriters. When you can find a gifted person that decade after decade after decade, they keep their humility, they keep their sincerity, they still think they need to pray before they play, they still think they need to pray before they sing, they still think they need to pray before they preach. There's a man that Satan can never knock down as long as he'll say the same way with the laity. Oh, I don't need to pray. Yes, you do, my brother, sister. You need to pray. You need to read your Bible like never before. We don't want the pride of life. Oh, I'm a Christian. I don't need to do it. Stay humble. Stay little. Stay small. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, my, notice he asked this question. Are we willing to die? Are we willing to give ourselves up to God, forfeit all the world and the things to serve him? Well, for myself, I'm going to answer that question for me. Yes. Yes. Now, he failed to do it willingly to forfeit it. Satan was to him. He didn't do it, though Jesus was tempted. He didn't just stand there and say, this don't bother me. I'm meeting this challenge in my theophany, My theophany is here and it's meeting it. Don't even bother me at all. That ain't the way he met it. But he was tempted. What's this in a letter in church age? Now, what are we to overcome? That is the normal question to ask here, but that is not the actual thought of this verse. For it is not so much what we are to overcome, but how. If we can learn to overcome, how to overcome, it don't matter if it's what Satan puts in front of you. But how are we to overcome? Now, this is logical, for it does not matter much what we are to overcome as long as we know how we can overcome. A quick look at those scriptures which involve the Lord Jesus overcoming will bring out the truth of this proposition. In Matthew 4, wherein Jesus is tempted of the devil, he overcame the personal temptations of Satan by the word, and by the word only. No feeling, no emotion, no anointing, no angels. When did the angels come? After the trial was over. Praise God. It was not by theophany. It was not by angelic influence. The angels came. Praise be to God. The angels came after he stood the test. And each of the three major trials that corresponded exactly to the temptation of the Garden of Eden, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eye, and the pride of life, Jesus overcame by the word. He fell to the personal temptation of Satan by failing to use the word. Adam fell in direct disobedience to the word. But Jesus overcame by the word. And right now, let me say this, that this is the only way to be an overcomer. Praise God. Then it don't make no difference if we're dealing with COVID-19, if we're dealing with whatever we are, we're an overcomer because we know how to overcome. Not what? Oh, if I could only overcome drinking. No, you're looking at what instead of how. This is how we overcome. We let the life of the overcomer live inside of us, and he overcomes by what? Using that word. Oh, Brother Donnie, if I could feel it, you're not promised to feel it. But take that written word. Thus saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh my, listen to this. Notice again how Jesus overcame the world systems of religion. When he was repeatedly badgered by the theologians of his day. Oh my goodness. Badgered. Oh, it must have been endless, Brother Darrell. They picked every word he said. They twisted his words. They tried to manipulate. He was constantly badgered. Oh, you say humans is what gets me, Brother Donnie. He understands. He was constantly badgered. Any of y'all's major problems with cows, horses, pigs? Well, the two-legged ones that gets me. He constantly applied the word. He spake only what the Father gave him to speak. And there was not a time when the world was not utterly confused by his wisdom. For it was the wisdom of God. Oh, I love this next paragraph. Look at it carefully. In his own personal life, contending with himself. So Christ was contending with Jesus. I know. Swallow it down. Take your drink of water if you need to. In his own personal battles, his own personal life, contending with himself, not just everybody else. But you see, Jesus knew the only way Satan could ever get him was if he give up himself. He could blame it on Mary. He could blame it on Joseph. He could blame it on Peter. Boy, Peter would really be one you'd want to lay a lot of your faults on with it. He was a guy that had full of mistakes. But that would not render to us overcoming power by blaming Peter. But Jesus knew there's only one place that Satan would defeat him if he did. And there's only one place that he would defeat Satan. Where was it? in himself. Praise be to God. I can't wait to get back to church so I can overcome. You better be overcoming when we're not having church. The thing is, I'll overcome in church. I'll overcome when I'm around good people. You've got to learn how to overcome, my friends, because the overcomer is living in you. Oh, if I could just get back to church. Oh, my, I know. I miss church too, and I want it to be that way. But I am living a godly, holy, overcoming life, even though it's not church as usual, because I've got the overcomer on the inside. And when I contend with myself, I know how to overcome, not what. In his own personal life, contending with himself. Now, are you talking about the miracle of kenosis, that he allowed his humanity to step beneath his deity, so they would actually feel, glory to God, that would actually be the same feeling of contention between his flesh and his soul that you and I would feel? Well, we can say amen and go home and say it's been good to be here. We've heard some wonderful things. If that contention was not there, he could not be a faithful high priest. He allowed himself to stoop to such a degree that when his flesh was tempted, he began to feel this rage within his humanity that it contended with the Father's will. I wonder what went through his mind, the Daryl, when he felt that. Oh, truly, friends, it had been wonderful to see him walk on water. It had been wonderful to watch him cleanse the leper and all that. But to me, right here is where I needed it. I ain't never going to walk on water, forget it. I ain't never going to do a lot of these things he done. But right here is what I need. Right here is what I need. To be able to stand before him that day. And he allowed himself to succumb, allowed himself to separate himself from his humanity and allow his humanity to go beneath his deity and feel a contention within his being. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Hallelujah. In his own personal life, contending. Notice when he contended with the devil, that was one thing. When he contended with fallen angels, when he contended with the Pharisees. But when he contended with himself. Here's the key though. He overcame by obedience to the word of God. Hallelujah. In Hebrews 5:7, it says, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and heard in that he feared. It was heard that Jesus feared. Imagine in the Garden of Gethsemane, he experienced it again, that he found himself contending with his humanity. And his humanity, I don't want to die. I don't want to die. I don't want to go that way. It was not an act. I'm just acting like this. I'm just saying this. But really, I don't. It was not an act. He felt it. He felt the contention between his soul and his flesh. Oh, I'm so glad I've got a high priest that can understand how I feel, how you feel. Lord Jesus. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. What was he obedient to? The word of God. Not feelings, not emotions, not sensations. The Word of God. Now then, there will not be one person who will sit in the throne of the Lord Jesus Christ unless he has been living that Word. Your prayers, your fastings, your repentances, no matter what you present to God, none of that will gain you the privilege of sitting, hallelujah, in that throne. It will be granted only to the Word Bride, as the throne of the King is shared with the Queen because she's united to Him. So only they who are of that Word, even as He is of that Word, will share that throne. So when Jesus faces the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Now remember, unlike the way James describes us, that we lust after things that good seed. The Lord Jesus was not that way. But he allowed the feeling of it to come upon him. He could not conceive lust in his heart. It was just not there. But he allowed himself to feel the potential of the mechanics working around him so that it would be a true representation of the same feeling you feel every time you go through it. Oh my, why didn't he just destroy it? I've conquered it. I've finished it. But that wasn't his plan. His plan was to let this program go on for 7 church ages, for 2,000 years. That there would be more overcomers produced of the same divine nature. That have their trials, that have their battles, but that also have their victories. You see, the most wicked, the way I'm looking at it here, the most deceitful and the most religious form is the pride of life. Satan's expulsion from heaven never came, as I said, because of drinking and women and all of that. But because of thy beauty, thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. And he began with maybe an arrogant boasting in heaven. I'm the brightest angel. I'm the greatest one. I'm the closest one to God. Well, if that's so, why do I have to be his errand boy? Why do I have to be submissive to him? You see what the pride of life does? The pride of life always resists the program of God. It seeks to elevate itself. The pride of life more focuses on the inward person, satisfying that human makeup. Oh, it's always been my desire to be this and that and the other. I this and I that and I something else. A lot of folks have got that bad eye disease. A whole lot more folks died with eye disease than COVID-19, I can assure you of that. Now, in direct contradiction to what Satan projected, the Lord Jesus must come, and he must make a way by which this process, by natural birth, we all inherited, it must be reversed. And it can never be reversed by schooling people. It can never be reversed by handing them a book of codes. The law proves that. It can never be reversed even by the judgment of God, which was the prophets. If you all do this, God will damn you. If you do this, God will do this. That didn't do it either. So what must come? The very heart of God, which was hid in the Old Testament. It must be the breaking force of the mystery of God's heart, which is Christ. Christ is the mystery of God revealed, and the bride is the mystery of Christ revealed. So it must be the very heart of God. So what's a greater way to express that a man has a heart than to have a wife? So the very heart of God came to the earth, and to express that, amen, what did he do? He expressed in the opening of the heart of Christ, and what was in the heart of Christ, what was taken out? A bride. Amen. Now then Jesus says, if a man will follow me, if he loves me, he must take up his cross. Not his microphone, not his guitar, not his piano, not his ambition, his organ, his, you know, goals in life. This is what I want to accomplish. He's got to take up his cross. I imagine Satan must have laughed when he heard the Lord Jesus saying these things. He would watch John and Peter. He would watch Bartholomew. He'd watch the jealousy among these brethren and think, you got to be kidding me. These are the men You're leaving this so-called kingdom in their hands. They can't even get along when you're here. Yet you're saying you're going to go away. How do you think it won't last a month? It will not last a month. It will self-destruct from within because you've got all these self-centered men that have these goals and these agendas and these things of what they want to be. But Satan left out the day of Pentecost. And you see, that's why it's so vitally important for us today to have our own day of Pentecost. That's exactly right. Now, what's this? Let's look back and refer back to Moses, if you would. In Numbers chapter 20 and verse 10. And Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock. And he said unto them, hear now, ye rebels, must we fetch you water out of this rock? And Moses lifted up his hand with his rod and he smote the rock twice. And the water came out abundantly. And the congregation drank and their beast also. Now Moses takes God's glory. Look what I can do. Hallelujah. I can handle this word. Boy, I'll tell you one thing. I listen to tapes every day. I don't need no preacher. Only shallow people around this message need preachers. You're full of the pride of life, which is satanic. You're lifting yourself up above God's divine protocol by saying, I don't need no pastor. You are a liar and you'll go to hell unless you get that evil spirit off of you. Well, praise the Lord. You've got the same denominational demon on you that the Baptist and the Methodist and the Presbyterian has got on them. Well, amen, Brother Donnie. Amen. Notice, and the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, because ye believed me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel. Therefore, you shall not bring this congregation into the land which I have given them. So what was it? The pride of life. Now, Moses, isn't this a contrast? I thought the Bible said, this was the meekest man on the earth. So did he look at himself, Brother Louis, and think, I'm the meekest man on the earth. I'll never battle pride. Oh, I'm so meek. God said I was. I'm so meek. I'm so humble. I'll never battle pride. He never run off of somebody else's wife. He never asked to be a prince or a king. He never asked for money. And how did Satan get him? Pride of life. Doing what? What seemed to be in his office as a prophet of God. What cost him being able to go into the promised land? Being a prophet. Acting in pride instead of humility. Well, praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. Now watch this. You looked at me big-eyed a while ago. You brothers of Jeremiah, the rest of y'all looked at me. Whenever I said that you can send your soul to hell with a divine gift. But listen to this. I realize, and you realize too, and ministers, that a man can take a divine gift and send his soul to hell with it. Now again, not drinking, not smoking, not excess money, but with a gift. A gift. You mean you'll take a divine gift, not a make-believe gift, not a false gift, a real one, and send your soul to hell with it. How? You know what? A gift from God. Now, I don't mean just something that you imagine. I mean if God has really given something and give it to your charge. You realize a lot of these country music stars and rock and roll and rappers and whatever, you know as well as I do, many of them began their singing in church. And then they start leaning toward the world and Satan offers them more of the world. And before long, you know, oh, they come back and make a gospel album every now and then. That within itself will condemn them at the day of judgment. God gave them that gift. Every musician, every piano player, guitar player, you know, whatever more. It is God-given gifts. Is that right? And then it will depend on what we do with the gift. If we prostitute the gift and take the gift, prostitute, you say, yes. When we try to share the glory of the gift with ourselves and with God, we are prostituting our gift. The glory does not belong to us. The credit, oh sure, you practice, you pray, you minister brothers that'll see this and hear this. You know you have to pray and study and read. And it costs you, my goodness, the price that comes of the minister and preaching the word. But you can never take 1 ounce of credit for anything that God has ever done through you. I prayed for so and so, you better be careful. Oh my. Notice this, he says, and God give it to your charge. You've got to use that with the wisdom of God. But most message folks tend to favor knowledge above wisdom. They pride themselves in how much they can quote Brother Branham. And they pride themselves if a preacher leaves out an and or a but or a for or a they or a the or a there or a when or a why. Oh, they've got to send you an email to let you know that you left that out. You know what that is? Knowledge with no wisdom. I pray God helps us to understand. We don't just need knowledge. We need wisdom. A man with a gift from God with knowledge of the word can send his soul to hell. Because he does not have wisdom. But Darrell, buddy, you might need to preach Wednesday night. Whew, I'm not sure they want to hear me as to this. Notice again, Brother Bibb said, now notice Moses smote the rock the second time, representing that Christ should come to the earth and die again. Now he had power to bring forth the water out of the rock, whether it was God's will or not. Now when God gives a man a gift, men have the ability to choose God's funnel and God's channel of the use of that gift. Let me just explain. Brother Branham tells us there'll only be one in a generation like a prophet of God that'll have that Son of Man sign. But does God still speak to his men? Of course he does. Does God show them things? Of course he does. And if they're not careful, they'll be tempted to enter into the avenue of the administration of the Son of Man. Instead of operating that gift in the way a pastor should do it. Well, hallelujah. Oh, but we're helping more people. Yeah, we're helping more people. Are we really? Or is it not bringing glory to us in a public way? Well, I'm going to preach with or without you. You see how the prophet says that he had power to bring forth water out of the rock, whether it was God's will or not. Do you know that? Everybody will admit that it wasn't God's will. But Moses done it anyhow. He had power. God entrusted him to be a prophet, and he gave him those powers to do that. And he found out that his servant failed him. Oh my goodness, a prophet failed God? He found his servant failed him, and he glorified himself by taking a God-given gift, God-given authority, God-given power, but using it in a way that would make him look like the big shot. You bunch of rebels, look here what I'm going to do for you. You think you're something? Look here. God said, all right, they're thirsty, I'll honor it, but you ain't going in. Oh my goodness. Why? Now, again, not smoking, not drinking, not running around on your wife, but using a God-given gift. Instead of keeping it in the channel of humility that will turn and bring public honor and public favor. That's why we got these men around the message that their congregations get up and sing songs. There is power in the name of Edgar Roscoe. There is power in the name of... There ain't a bit more power in the name of Edgar Roscoe than there is a blow of bubble gum. Yeah. Or the name of Donnie Reagan. Devils ain't scared of the name of Donnie Reagan or Edgar Roscoe or no other name. Man's name. There is one name by which we are saved. But what brings it when men stand up and allow people to rally around them and make an idol out of them and they say, watch what I can do.
Good preacher, brother. Good preacher.
And from that same assembly, They preach the very entrance of the gates of heaven is in their church. To go to heaven, you leave from their literal church building. Keep us true, Lord Jesus. Notice this. He said his servant had glorified himself in the stead of God. Then what happened? God dealt with Moses, and then didn't he? Not with the children, with Moses. The Holy Spirit is given to a man and gifts are given to a man. But you have to watch what you're doing with those divine gifts. Oh, you see, it runs in the same way with those folks that are not even called to preach. Speaking in tongues or interpretation or prophecy or whatever more. Well, we know Brother Bam set the gifts in order. But I'll tell you one thing. I feel led of the Lord. Hallelujah. I feel led. So your gift is going to lead you over the top of the allocated word for the hour. Well, praise the Lord. Wonder if God didn't allow that to move on you, to try you, to see what you would do. Well, praise God. Pride of life. It's devastating. Oh, my. Can I go on a little bit farther? Looky here. The organized church was Moses, the lawgiver. And the lawgiver Moses glorified himself in the stead of God and wasn't permitted to take the children over Jordan. And the church today is glorifying themselves. And notice how they glorify themselves. I belong to the assemblies. I belong to the church of God. I belong to this or that. What are you anyhow? Of course, now we change those names. I'm Two Soul, I'm Perugia, I'm Seven Thunder. And if you ain't got Seven Thunder blood on your altar, you're not even in the covenant. Oh yeah, God sent a prophet, sure, but he sent the apostle to set everything in order. Keep your eyes on New York. Keep your eyes on New York. I have been for the last little bit, and it ain't been looking good. Yeah, keep your eyes on New York. Can't you see why people do that? They have missed the advent of the Messiah. And the black folks want a black Messiah. And the Indians want an Indian Messiah. And the white folks want a white Messiah, the son of the prophet. But the bride has already found her Messiah. And it's not no human being. It is Christ Jesus made manifest in bride form. And we are Messiahs. We're not looking for another Messiah. We have found him whom our soul loves. Come and see a man that's told me what I've done. Is not this the Messiah? Friends, it's so sad because many of these message folks, they're women, their hair is way down on their legs. They never paint their lips. They never wear earrings, makeup. The men never smoke. They don't drink. But they've got the same spirit on them. I listen to tapes 3 times a day. I fast twice in the week. I go to Jeffersonville every so often, and I don't attend church. You're a denominational bastard. Illegitimate to the word. The Lord Jesus started his church the way he wanted it. And he didn't call 12 tape players. He called 12 men and he said, preach. Hallelujah. You show me anywhere where people ever brought their tape players to the prophet of God. And he laid hands on a machine and said, preach, tape player. Oh, Lord God, I belong to the church of God. I belong to this, that, or the other. What are you anyhow? That's right. It's the truth. Now, there's good men in every one of them. We are brethren. Break down that thing. How many knows that you could send your soul to hell with a divine gift? Sure you can. You have to watch what you're doing. How many believe Moses was God's prophet? Say amen. He was God's prophet, but you know what he done? God told him to go down there and speak to the rock. Let me read this and then we'll stop. Now if Satan fails here, then he'll try a second scheme on you. get you to disbelieve the word, and he'll go to a seminary. He'll try the next, the scheme. Now here's where you want to be real careful. And just set for another 5 minutes on this part, if you will. He makes you a supernatural offer. This is one of the most difficult for people who love God to understand. If Satan offered a son of God a cigarette, it'd be so repulsive. You brothers know as well as I do, if the devil puts any type of thought in your mind that's contrary to the word, it just makes you feel awful. And you get mad at him and you say, "You stinking devil, get out of here and leave me alone. What in the world's the matter with you? I don't think that. I don't want that. Get away from me." So what does he offer? Supernatural offers. And all of us want to be closer to God. So it's a supernatural offer with the pride of life covered over with the disguise of a spiritual gift. Now watch this. If you haven't listened to this sermon in a while, probably good for you to listen to it. He makes a supernatural offer. I'm going to come back to all this just before closing. See if he can't tempt you away from the word. Now I'm going to stay with the word. He'll give you a supernatural offer, which will of course seem like it's right with the word. Make you closer to God. After all, I want to be closer to God, don't we? Amen. And with the type of message we have, since we're separate from everybody else, you can see it's a perfect bedding ground for demons to get among us and to try to cause an eliteness out of the elite. Right. So this is the elect out of the elect out of the elect. This is the bride. The bride's the one that does this, and the bride's the one who does that. So we got another, you know, all these messages that are going on calling the bride out of the bride out of the bride. How many brides are there anyway? So each one of these men that have been down through the years, they're the one that was the teacher and the apostle and this and that and the other. And God sent the prophet, but the apostle set it in order. And then the teacher come to bring clarity to it. Hogwash. Nonsense. Show me that in the word. Well, praise the Lord. But what did Satan do? He offered these men a supernatural offer of the pride of life, cloaked over in a gift called a teacher. A gift called an apostle. A gift called tongues, or a gift called prophecy, or whatever the gift was, or a gift called a pastor. Dear Jesus, he'll give you a supernatural offer. I'll tell you what, you get up here and dive off the temple and bring you back up. Show the people that you can do something supernatural. You see, a real servant of God follows in the line of Malachi 4. Whenever the baby died over in Germany, and the mother and father called the prophet, the man being a military man, our government military was going to fly Brother Branham over there to raise the baby from the dead. He said, "Oh, that's well and good, but let's see what Father says first." So he waited and he prayed and he waited and he prayed. Now a lot of men, boy, they say, "Oh, hallelujah. This is going to be a testimony to the kingdom of God. Praise God. Oh my, here we go, here we go." But if God never led them, then what's that going to be? A reproach. A reproach. And when Brother Branham prayed and the Lord come to him and said, "Leave that alone. That's me." So he called him and said, "Bury your child." The sister comes to him later and said, "Brother Branham, didn't I have faith?" He said, "Sister, you had great faith, because when God said no, you still believed him." And what did Brother Branham wait for? That clear cut decision. Oh my, this will be a great testimony. Oh my, let's rally. Let's do this and this. It's not always about what we think is a great testimony. It's what the Spirit of God says do. Hallelujah. Show the people that you can do something supernatural. Boy, he can get them there. Now watch, this is it. Watch, when you get to the end where this temptation comes, maybe, Lord have mercy, Harry, maybe he might let some of you speak in tongues and think you got it. The devil would let you speak in tongues? He will, as long as he can keep you from the new birth. If you're of that makeup to where you say, "Oh God, if I could just shake. Oh God, if I could speak in tongues. Hallelujah. Oh hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank Jesus and Satan move over on you, and all of a sudden you go to speaking in tongues and maybe jumping and shouting and quivering. And what did he do?
You was that close to getting born again, but instead you got a gift. Not the giver.
And you felt it all over you. Everybody around you felt it, and you shouted.
You remember the man at discernment, or man, whenever Brother Branham was doing it in the prayer line, and the Spirit of God was fixing to move across the man. Crippled. Wasn't he crippled, Brother Darrell, the one that the brothers posted this week? Crippled. And he said the devil moved on him, and he got up and went out right before Brother Branham was fixing to call him, the angel of the Lord moving over him. He said he'll be crippled the rest of his life. He missed his visitation. So instead of staying there to be healed, he went out and got a drink of water or got mad or who knows what it was. Don't you see, for those who love God and they're so close to being born again, and Satan say, give him an anointing, give him a gift, let him speak in tongues, let him shout. Oh, I got it. And in 6 months, they wonder why they can't overcome pornography. They wonder why they can't overcome temper. And they go back to that experience and say, I thought I got it then. Friends, you don't get the new birth again and again and again and again and again. You get it one time, you get it right. That's all you need it. Now you can have gift experiences, you can have emotion experiences, but we want to make sure. Oh, don't misunderstand me. I don't want no replacement for the new birth. There is none. I don't want no sensation thinking I've got the new birth. I don't want no speaking in tongues thinking I've got the new birth. Yes, God, let me speak in tongues if that's what you want. But let me give the giver the gifts. Let me close. Maybe he might. Listen to this, friends. We're talking about the prophet referring to the devil. Maybe he, Satan, might let some of you speak in tongues think you got it. Or he might even let you prophesy, though it not be with the word. I've seen people stand up and prophesy. It's as contrary to the word as east is from the west. See, it's the word that you live by. Them supernatural gifts, Satan can hand them out by handfuls. I don't mean one thing. Yes, maybe prophesy contrary to the word. But now time, he's got this supernatural gift. He's so carried away by the noise, by the glamour of it. I want you to look in this message. Which preachers is it that gets the most applause and praise? Is it the men who labor in the word, or men that are gifted, so-called? Who is it that people want to come and hear? I heard it whenever I was in Pentecost. Poor old Donnie. All he's got is the word. I used to hang my head in shame whenever that was said to me, especially from my mama. Did it make me feel bad, Brother Darrell? It did. But if you tell it to me today, Michael, it ain't going to make me feel bad. I'm going to say, glory to God. Hallelujah. But what do people want? They want gifts. Do you not believe in gifts, Brother Donnie? I do. But let's make sure, friends. Yes, sir. Let's make sure that our gifts line with the giver. They line with the word, and we don't have to explain away this quote to justify our gift and explain away, well, throw out church order. We don't need to know how. Oh, since the prophet said church order, the church has died. What? The word of God kills the church? Then the church needs to be killed, what I say. Amen. Amen. Listen, brothers. God bless you all. Y'all were a good audience to beat on. Thank you. Oh, my. Let me finish reading this quote here. By the time he's got this supernatural gift, he's so carried away by the noise and by the glamour of it. Glory to God. I prayed for so and so, and they got up and walked away. But now, this is what scares me. And yet we know that Brother Branham shared testimonies, and I thank God wants us to share testimonies. What's the difference? The difference is whether it comes from our soul or from the pride of life. Lord God, the exact same words can be said. And one comes from the soul giving credit to God, and the other one comes from the humanity. You've heard Brother Branham said, if you've listened to tape many times, he's talking about meeting a guy. And he said he was all confused and got all tied up. He said, I could have took that word and tied him up in knots, something like that. He must have felt checked in his heart. And he said, the Lord could have given me something on the word to help. What was it? Brother Branham felt that check. That's something. We've all done it. Come on, be honest. To where that element of the pride of life. Oh God. Oh God. Help us, Jesus. Glory to God, I prayed for so-and-so. They got up and walked. My goodness, friends, wouldn't we all rejoice because of that? And the prophet is speaking against what? The supernatural part? No. When we take the supernatural part and gratify ourselves. When we flip that line, that invisible line that a preacher can walk over, we're doing what Moses did. Look here, you bunch of rebels. Oh God, help us, Brother Darrell. Our desire to let Jesus prove himself that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if we're not careful, we'll try to help him in the pride of life. He don't need my pride. He wants my hands. He don't need my arrogance or yours. He wants our surrendered heart, Brother Louie, and our hands and our mouths and our tears, our eyes. Glory to God, I prayed for so-and-so. They got up and walked. Hallelujah. I can speak in tongues and somebody interpret it's genuine, the truth. Paul said, I can speak in tongues like men and angels and yet be nothing. I can have faith to move mountains and I'm still nothing. Congregation, is that right? He says. But you see, he'll offer you that. Oh, Pentecostal people, I love you. I wouldn't be with you. There's where you fail, see. Watch the word, not the gift. Watch the giver. See where it all comes from? He's all carried away, dancing in the spirit. Oh, he's got so many people around him. Everybody calling for him. And he forgets the word. He's so carried away by the noise of glamour and so forth to maybe he won't even pay any attention to the word. Oh, brother so-and-so and so-and-so, I just got to go over there. See, he's so carried away, he don't even notice it. Whether it's the word or not, don't make any difference. The rest of them said it was all right. That don't make any difference. The denomination says, boy, you got it. Boy, don't let you tell you. I don't care what the denomination says. I don't care if the majority of the message people say it's all right. To me, it's the word or nothing.
That's right. Amen.
It's God's word. Well, Brother Donald, don't you think we ought to have gifts? Absolutely. I want every gift that God's placed in our church. I want every gift that God has for me. But only what he can trust me with. If he sees somewhere down the road and it causes me to be puffed up and arrogant, then no, I don't want it. I only want what he knows in my little limited capacity that I can carry. How many have we seen, friends? How many times have I reiterated the words of David? How have the mighty fallen? How have the mighty fallen? God help us. Let's bow our heads if you would. Lord Jesus, I know these are serious things. Fathers, I listened to this week over and over again. Oh God, it just made me want to look at myself again and again and again. My gifts, my abilities are so small compared to others. But I found out a long time ago, Satan will not try to make me fall with other people's gifts, but my own. And that's a trick many times that men get into that, well, I'm not nothing anyway, I'm not nothing. And all the while they're saying that, that pride is getting built up within them. So Lord, we want to look at ourselves in reality. Oh dear God, help us today, Jesus. We don't want to be proud preachers, proud musicians, arrogant. We don't want to be proud laity. We want to be humble laity, humble preachers, humble singers, humble musicians. And yes, we want to express our gift. If a piano player is talented, God-given talent, it would be wrong and sinful for them to put that talent under a bushel basket thinking they're being humble. Use that talent. Spread their fingers and play those keys. Same with an organ player, a singer. They don't have to get up and sing off key and think that's humility. But sing with a voice which can mesmerize people under the anointing. But always pointing back to the giver and not the gift. Help us, Lord Jesus. Keep us true, Lord. Keep us small. Keep us humble in our own eyes, Lord. We love you, Father. Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I want what you want for me, dear Lord. Whatever, wherever it may be. God bless you, saints. I love you in the Lord.
Thank you. your plan. Trusting now in your decision, my life is in.
It's in
your hand.
Oh yes, I want what you want for me, dear Lord. Ever, wherever it may be,
'cause
brothers, we was blessed here today, wasn't we? Word of the Lord is so good. Sure you was blessed as you listened and watched the service this morning. Service again Wednesday night, the Lord willing. Let's sing a little song that we've sung. Everything we do, we wore it out. But it's all right. It's just us here this morning. Let's sing a little song together. Blessed be the Lord God Almighty. In the ultimate end, He's the only one that needs to be praised and glorified. It's Christ Jesus. Let's sing about it this morning, if you will. Blessed be the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Blessed be the
in our praises.